God moves in mysterious ways. His wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps upon the sea. He rides upon the storm. God's ways are not like our ways. His thoughts are not like our thoughts. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, are his ways than our ways, and his thoughts than our thoughts. Everything that has breath ought to praise God, because his ways are past finding out. Amen? Want to encourage you to mark your calendars for November the 12th. We're going to be having our annual musical celebration. We have a lot of great gospel groups lined up to come and to bless us in song. So please note, which will be our homecoming November the 13th, as well as the musical on November the 12th, if the Lord wills. Amen. If you have your personal copy of the world bestseller, I want to call your attention to the book of Acts, the 16th chapter. And we'd like to look at verses 27 and 28. Certainly happy to have all those who are visiting with us today. I think Tyra has several guests, and we're happy to see them. And Brother Peter Moss II is here. And Miss Brandy Moss is here. And she has a guest. Alexis is with her today. And we're just glad that they're here. Amen. Acts chapter 16. Verses 27 and 28. Now, church, we got the heat on. Y'all need some air conditioning? Y'all don't? I see some of y'all fanning. Y'all show? Okay. All right. I just want y'all to be comfortable. Praise God. Acts chapter 16, verses 27 and 28. You have that, say amen. And the keeper of the prison awaking out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Using that text, I want to talk from the subject, from suicide to salvation. From suicide to salvation. When we look at this textual consideration from an historical perspective, we see that in the book of Acts is an historical book. The gospel accounts, even though we have four gospel writers, we only have one gospel. The gospel is written to give us the biography, the account of the life of Jesus, who is the Son of God. And that account is given unto us that we might believe in Jesus. We might trust in Jesus. And through our faith in him, we can have life through his name. The book of Acts shows us how one expresses obedient faith into the gospel of Christ and how one becomes a New Testament Christian. The book of Acts shows us the power of the gospel. The book of Acts shows us the success of the gospel. Amen. And it's very important that we see this, because in the text under consideration, the Apostle Paul and Silas were on a missionary journey. And they were having some success as they went on the offensive with the gospel. And there was, as Brother Wynn read, there was a young lady who was demon possessed. And because she had what the Bible called a spirit of divination. And there were some handlers of her. And they were making money off of this young lady. And of course she followed Paul and Silas around for several days. And she would cry out, "These men are servants of the Most High God. And they show us the way of salvation." Well, after a while that got old with Paul. And Paul finally perform an exorcism, or he cast out the devil or the demon that was in this young lady. And when the handlers saw that their profiting enterprise was up, they became incensed and enraged, and they began to make all kinds of false charges against Paul and Silas. And subsequently and consequently, they were arrested, they were beaten badly. They were beaten so badly until their shoulder blades looked like two white caps on a sea of blood. And they were cast into prison. Amen. But you know, instead of being in prison feeling sorry for themselves, they were singing praises unto God. And around about midnight, some strange things can happen around midnight. And around about midnight, God unleashed a great earthquake. And the earthquake was so significant that it shook the foundation of the jail. It shook so much the doors came open. It shook so much until all of the prisoners' bands were loosed. And the jailer, who was charged specifically to keep these men under arrest, supposed that they had fled. And he drew a sword and was about to take his own life when God intervened. He moved him from the brink of suicide unto salvation. Now, church, let me say that when the Bible talks about the devil and how he goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, that is serious business. That is nothing to play with. I know a lot of people read that and think it's sort of theoretical or hypothetical or even mythic. But the word of God, when it talks about that he walks about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, that's serious business. When it tells us that he has a threefold agenda, which is to steal and to kill and to destroy, that is something we need to seriously look at, because life is serious. Amen. And so we have to really, so the devil is alive and well on planet Earth. And when you look at this account, we see where this man was on the verge of taking his own life. Which lets me know there are destructive forces in this world. Let's think about some words. Think about the word suicide. Suicide is the intentional killing of oneself. Now, a legal definition of suicide is when one engages in an act of self-destruction. He has a sound mind and can measure his moral responsibility. Just this week, we read about a man who killed a police officer, and after turning the gun on the police officer, he killed himself. Then we hear about homicide. Homicide is the intentional killing of another human being. Then we hear about genocide. That is the systematic extermination or the killing of a race or a class of people. We see an incident of that in the book of Esther, when Mordecai was trying to kill the Jews, and Esther saved the Jews from an act of genocide. And then we see the word called fratricide, which is the intentional killing of a brother or a sister. When one kills his own blood brother or his own sister, that's called fratricide. Cain committed an act of fratricide because he killed his own brother. And then there is a word called infanticide. And that's the idea of the systematic killing of infants or babies. You remember when the Lord Jesus was born? King Herod sent out a decree to kill all children from the age 2 back into infancy in an attempt to kill the baby Jesus because he thought that Jesus was a rival to his throne. And so that was an act of infanticide. But there's another word I want you to think about, and that's the word salvation. That's a positive word. That's a great word. And that word means to save someone from ruin or destruction. Theologically, when we talk about salvation, it is the redemption. Thank God for redemption. It is the redemption that we have through the atonement of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I want to emphasize over and over again, it's nothing ordinary about Jesus. Is that all right? And if we look at Jesus as ordinary, we're not looking at him right. So this morning, I want to talk about two things in this lesson. I want to talk about number one, do thyself no harm. And number two, I want to talk about save yourself. Amen. Save yourself. Let's look at the first idea, and that is do thyself no harm. We raised the question this morning. You know, life can get so intense, and you can become so frustrated. You ever been frustrated? You can become so fearful. You can become so depressed, and your mind can be filled with pressure. A lot of people, perhaps here today, are living under intense scrutiny and pressure. And life can become so intense that people begin to make bad or impulsive decisions. Now, during the time of Jesus, suicide was prevalent in his day. During the time that Jesus lived, people many times couldn't take it any longer, and as a result, they would kill themselves. King Saul killed himself. He committed suicide. The apostate apostle Judas Iscariot killed himself. He committed suicide. And somebody said, you know, it takes a lot of nerve to kill yourself. And another priest said, no, it takes a lot of nerve to live when you want to kill yourself. Is that all right? So during the time of Jesus, suicide was prevalent. But the antithesis of suicide is salvation. And sometimes people can become so depressed. They can become so fearful and confused. And the devil is behind people taking their own lives. Amen. But thank God, there's a man called Jesus. Now, when you look at this context today, that jailer understood his responsibility. He knew that if these prisoners escaped, he was good as dead. So he was just going to save the state some money and just do it himself. And you know, God can speak. Sometimes God speaks in a cool, gentle breeze. Sometimes God speaks in a clear, blue sky. But sometimes God speaks through an earthquake. And that a situation that Philippi was, it was a involved situation. And as I said earlier, that God shook up the jail. And he shook that jail so much, the foundations were shaken. You know, God can shake your life, and the foundations are shut. Is that right? Or rather, are loose or broken. God can shake your life, and he can make the doors come on. The doors that you just can't open, God can open them doors and let you walk in. God can come in and break the bonds that's got you in bondage and set you free. Amen. But you know, notice something here. When God shook the jail up, the jailer was asleep. Everybody was locked up. Round midnight, most people sleep. Hello? When the man came to Jesus in the parable to his friend at midnight, he said, I'm in bed. My children are in bed and I can't rise and give you. You know, if you're courteous, you don't call people house at midnight. Hello? Phone rang midnight. Ring, ring. Who is it? I just wanted to call and holler at you. I didn't want nothing. You know, when the phone ring at midnight, it scares you. Because usually you know if the phone is ringing at midnight, it can't be nothing but bad news. Is that right? But the jailer, church, was asleep around midnight. And then the jail was just shaking. Like somebody said before, Elvis Presley did the jailhouse rock. God had the jailhouse rock. Is that all right? Because that jail was just rocking, Brother Milton. And it shook it up so, and when the jailer woke up, now no, I want you to see this now. When the jailer woke up, he supposed that all the prisoners had fled. And that's what the devil can do to you. The devil can make you make a huge decision based on an assumption. The devil can make us make wrong decisions based on a supposition. Because the jailer, when he woke up, he thought that the prisoners were gone. But not only that, he's about to make an irreversible decision. He's about to kill himself. But Brother Hillary, it's all based on an assumption. Have you ever made huge decisions in your life and didn't have your facts right? I know you ain't gonna admit it today. You ever made a decision based on an assumption and you thought you had it right, but in reality you didn't have it right? Amen. And sometimes you had to say, well, you ever just said, well, if I knew now, brother, if I knew then what I know now, I would have made a different decision. And here this jailer is. And this speaks to us about to make a huge life decision based on an assumption. He thought the jailers or the prisoners were gone. Drew out his sword, Brother Wynn. And if Paul hadn't cried out, he'd have took his life. But ain't it amazing? On the verge of damnation, God steps in and brings him salvation. Because God can rescue people. God can come into your prison and set you free. I still hear God saying that my strength is made perfect in your weakness. I still hear God saying, Jackie, that when you are weak, I'm strong. I still hear God saying, I can turn your desert into a blooming garden of flowers. I hear God saying, I can turn your pain into power. I can turn your sadness into gladness. I can turn your setback into a comeback. I can come into your prison and set you free. Because perhaps sometime, you know, the devil will make you do it to yourself. You ever been in a situation where you say, now I know I shouldn't be doing this, but I just keep doing it? Can I speak to anybody this morning? Well, I know I shouldn't be doing it, but I know I shouldn't be eating this, but I just keep eating it. Amen. I know I shouldn't be talking about this, but I just keep talking about it. You ever been in a situation like that? The devil can make us make, because he wants to get us to believe the wrong thing. He wants to get us to believe in the wrong thing, and he wants to get us to do the wrong thing. I tell you, life is a fight. We in a fight, y'all. That's why Paul said, I fought a, but you got to be in the fight. You got to be in the race in order to finish the course. Is that all right? That's what you got to do, amen? And God steps in, and he releases, and he tells him with a loud voice. You know, sometimes you just can't whisper. Sometimes you got to cry out. Is that all right? Paul saw what was about to happen, and Paul said, do yourself no harm. He didn't say, what you doing? He said, do yourself no harm. We're all here. We're here. You don't have to do that. From suicide, the intentional killing of himself. And when the jailer saw what happened, he said, wow. Brother Everett, he sprang in with a light, trembling. You ever had a close call in your life? And when God delivers you, you find yourself trembling because God done rescued you. Is that all right? Because God is good, ain't he? God is love, ain't he? God is mercy. God said, I'm the source of your salvation. I'm the source of your survival. I'm the source of your deliverance. Is that right? If you just look to me, I can turn all of those bad situations into a solid situation. Here's the final point, church. And that is, first point is, do yourself no harm. Don't hurt yourself. Brother, hit it, run over to 2 Timothy 2 and look at verse 24. I want to give you this final point. 2 Timothy 2:24-26. I want you to notice this very carefully, what the text says here in the 2 Timothy 2:24. The servant of God must not strive. So as I represent God, I have to remind myself, don't be combative. Amen. Come on. He got to be gentle to all men, apt to skillful in teaching. He's got to be, the servant of God got to be patient. Is that right, church? And one of the big issues in the church is that we don't have enough patience. I talked about last Sunday, when God lets you have trouble, that's a blessing. Hello, y'all. You know why it's a blessing? Because trouble produces patience. How else are you going to get patience? You got to go through something. Is that all right? Like the song said, I never would have made it. Is that all right? We say, I'm coming up the rough side of it. I'm going to run on to see what the end is going to be. And so patience produces experience or proven character. Huh? And then experience produces hope. Amen? So God is with me all the way. God is going to be with me as I live. Every day last week, God was with me. On the freeway. Amen. When I slumbered and slept last night, he was watching over me. Didn't allow somebody to come in my house and kill us. Is that all right? Woke up this morning, heart still beating. Is that all right? And like Brother Wyatt said, if a robin can say thank you, you can do it too. Is that all right? God kept me living today. He's so great. But he said, I got to teach you some, I got to let you go through something to teach you patience. Read, Brother Hillary. In meekness, instructing the. Now look at this word, oppose. In the Greek, it means this, church. It means literally people who are arrayed in battle against themselves. Sometime we can be our own worst enemy. Sometime I may put the blame on somebody else, but I'm destroying my own life. You hear what I'm saying? I'm destroying my own life by how I think. I'm destroying my own life by what I do. I'm arrayed in a battle against myself. I keep shooting myself in the foot. I keep going around in circles. Pete, the devil will have you arrayed in battle against. The devil had that man, was urging that man to go ahead and end your life. And God said through Paul, don't do it. Jesus came not to destroy people, but to save them. Read the rest of that. If God peradventure will give them repentance as a new mind, God will give them a new mind. God can help me to put away destructive habits, put away destructive thinking, put away destructive behavior. Repentance is a new mind. When you repent, you have a new mind. And a man is as he thinks in his heart. Is that right? Read, Brother Hillary. And God will help me to acknowledge the truth. And I can recover myself out of the trap that the devil has set for me.
Who are taken captive by him at his will.
Amen. You got a spike in power there, didn't you, Brother Hillary?
I see.
Amen. You speaking, Brother Hillary. God can recover me out of the devil's trap. Well, I won't take my own life. Now, here's the final point. Save yourself. Acts 2:40. It says, do what? Save yourself. Amen. Is that what it says? Save yourself? Is that important? To save yourself? That I gotta, if I'm gonna be saved, I gotta do it myself, right? Work out your own. Let me ask you something. If you could be baptized for someone, would you? You probably would. Some people you love so much, if it was possible to save them by being baptized for them, I'm sure many of us would do it. Is that right? But that's not possible. Each individual must do what? He must save him or herself. Now, let me tell you this straight. Love is a creative force in this world. And I know it's a lot of hate. There's a lot of hate in this world. And if you ain't careful, hate will get in your heart. But of course, there are some things you should hate. We should hate sickness. We should hate death. We should hate damnation. We should hate people's lives being ruined and wrecked. We should hate it when there are more young black men incarcerated than in college. And the poor girls can't hardly find no husband. I know what I'm talking about on that. Because just ain't many men eligible. That's because a lot of young men are on a path of self-destruction. Amen. Devil have you making bad choices. He was trying to motivate that man to go on and take his life. And Paul said, don't do it. We're here. It's unnecessary. Let me talk about love and I'm going to conclude. Love is so important. is the greatest force in this world. Do you believe that? Love is the greatest creative force in this world because God is. Now, here's what we have to do, church. We got to get the love right. Do we need love in the church? Do we need love in the world? We need love. But you got to get the love right. Let me show you this. Now, the greatest commandment in the entire Bible is about love. And really, I want to say this. If you can get the love right, the rest going to take care of itself. Let me prove that. The greatest commandment in the entire Bible is not observe the Lord's Supper. Hello? It's not to give. The greatest commandment in the entire Bible is to love God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and all your strength. Now, if you love anybody or anything more than you love God, your life is moving in the wrong direction. That's the first obligation. Put nobody before God. Sometimes people fall in love. Hello. And forget everything they've been taught religiously. But child, you just don't know when he look in my eyes how he make me feel. No, I don't know. But I do know the greatest commandment in the Bible is to love God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and all your... Now, if you love God, two things will happen in your life automatically if you love God. Number one, you will obey him. If you love me, do what? Keep my commandment. A second thing will happen if you love God, you will follow the truth wherever it leads. A lot of people don't understand. They say they love God but don't want truth. You can't love God and not want truth because God said, I am the truth. So if you love God, wherever truth leads you, you will follow it. You will open the truth if you love God. But now watch this. The second greatest commandment in the Bible is to love your neighbor as you do what? Now watch this. It's all right to love yourself. It's all right to love yourself. In fact, you can't love your neighbor unless you love yourself. Are y'all with me? And if you love your neighbor, get for me Romans 13:8-10. If you love your neighbor, you're not going to hurt him. Listen, if you love somebody, you don't slander them and try to mess up their name and mess up their reputation. If you love somebody, is that right? Because love worketh no ill. Love doesn't hurt people. If you love your neighbor, you'll observe the golden rule. What's the golden rule? Do unto as you would. It doesn't say do unto others as that you want them to do unto you. It says do unto others as you would have them. That's the golden rule. So if I love my neighbor as I love myself, listen, Ephesians said, no man ever yet hateth his own body. That's in a sound mind. But rather he does what? He nourisheth and cherisheth. He feeds it and he keeps it warm. How many when it's cold turn the heat on? When it's hot, turn the air conditioner on. Because you nourishing. How many when you get hungry, go get you something to eat? Because you nourish and you cherish. Is that correct? Now watch this. Watch this. Love your neighbor as you what? And if I love myself, I'll save myself. If I love myself, I'll take better care of myself. Hello? If I love myself, the first thing I'll do for myself is get myself saved. If you don't save yourself, you don't love yourself. If you love your neighbor, you'll seek his salvation. Oh, I wish I had some help here. Read it, brother. Hillary, what does it say? Romans 13, 8 to 10. What does it say? Owe no man anything but to love. He that loveth another, if I love, I fulfill the law. Read. Thou shalt not commit adultery, shall not kill, shall not steal, shall not bear false witness, shall not covet. If there be any other commandment, it's summed up. What does it say? Thou shalt love thy neighbor. That's what love does. Read. Love worketh no ill. From suicide to salvation. If I love my children, I'm not going to harm them. Hello? Do you think Cain loved his brother Abel? You think he loved him? And one preacher said, Cain is still killing his brother, cocaine. Is that all right? Amen. We know Cain didn't love his brother, did he? Because he did what he took his brother's life. And if I take my own life, and let me tell you something as I conclude. If I don't obey the gospel of Christ, I'm taking my own life. Does that make sense, church? From suicide to salvation. So Peter says, if I really love myself, it's all right to love yourself. Amen. You ought to try to want to live as long as you can. Amen. And you should want to try to live as healthy as you can. Let me give you a little secret about life that I've learned that's had blessed me. Just do some, take a little step every day. Slight edge, Jessica. Just do some positive every day. And guess what? If you do some positive every day for you, physically, spiritually, in 6 months, guess what happens? It adds up. You ain't gonna fix your night over. You're not gonna fix your life overnight. But if you could get on the road and just say, every day, just have the discipline to read your Bible every day. If it's just 5 minutes, just do it. Like the Nike commercial. Just if it's just 5 minutes, just take 5 minutes and you read the Bible. Or just pray. And let me say this. Just eat some good nutritious food every day. Now you can't live off just pork chops, pork roast, hamburger. Ain't getting no help on this, G, but I'm going on anyway. Ain't getting no help on this. You got to eat some fruits and vegetables. You see, God put some nutrients. He put things called polyphenols. which have cancer-fighting ingredients. And they tell you beta-carotene helps the body. And God, being so wise and so great, put certain nutrients in certain foods. And I know you might like Sprite and Diet Coke, but can't nothing beat water. Brother Mike, will you go and preach and quit? That's what I'm doing, preaching. I'm telling you to love yourself. Is that right? Love yourself on every level. And if you love yourself on every level, then you can love your neighbor. Because the Bible doesn't say, it says love your neighbor as you. And loving myself means I do things to try to, I make the right. And let me leave you with this. You know, every time we come into the house of God, we ought to get a blessing. Is that all right? Every time we assemble together as a church, we ought to get a blessing. We ought to be able to stand with David and say, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go unto the house of the Lord. Is that all right? We ought to be glad to come to the house of God. And you ought to hear some every Sunday that makes you a little stronger. You ought to hear something every Sunday that enlightens you. You ought to hear something that educates you. You ought to hear something that encourages you. You ought to hear something that lifts you up and make you want to climb just a little higher when you come to the house of God. Because that's why I come to the house of God, because I love me. But most importantly, I love God. And I'm trying to love him with all my heart. And all my soul, all my mind. And yeah, I got a ways to go yet. Is that all right? But I'm going to run on to see what the end is going to be. I'm closing now. I'm going to my seat. But I tell you this. God has given us the entrancing splendor of nature. He gave us rock-bound and snow-capped mountains that etch their majestic peaks against the flaming background of an evening sky. Didn't he do that? Because God is good. Is that right? And oh, Sister Scott, sometime in life, you go down the road of life, you move out into the road of life, and life will jump on you. You move down the road of life, and life will beat you up. You go down the road of life, and life will jump on you. Is that all right? But oh, I'm so glad I know a man who's called Savior. Is that right? I know a man whose name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. Oh, Lord, he's the Prince of Peace. Is that all right? And when Jesus, I may be, Brother Hillary, I may be about to destroy myself, but when Jesus comes in, you can lift every voice and sing. Is that all right? When Jesus comes in, the morning stars will sing together. And all the sons of God will shout for joy. Is that all right? When Jesus comes in, old things are passed away. And behold, all things become new. Is that all right? When Jesus comes in, he turns my midnight into daylight. Is that all right? When Jesus come in, weeping may endure for a night, but joy, I said joy, joy, it comes in the morning. Is that all right? And that's why I can say, Sister Jackie, why should I feel discouraged? Why should I feel for long for heaven and home when Jesus is my portion? A constant friend is he. His eye is on the sparrow. And I know, yes, I know he watches me. Is that all right? Oh, church, why do you sing? I sing because I'm happy. I think Brother Ruddles be happy up there. Is that right? I sing Because I'm free, his eye is on the sparrow. And I know I want to thank him for waking me up this morning. I want to thank him for putting shoes on my feet. I want to thank him for putting clothes on my back. I want to thank him for putting food on my table. Is that all right? I want to thank him for putting health in my body. Is that all right? He's worthy to be praised. And he moves me from ruin to salvation. Stand on your feet. That's the message. From suicide. Suicide, the intentional taking of your own life, to the intentional saving of your own soul. Is that awesome? And some people are slowly committing suicide. People who are alcoholics slowly committing suicide. People who I've seen people, and I know you've seen them. I thought about Brother Harris. Brother Harris is a Vietnam veteran. You have to give him some praise on this, because I knew a lot of Vietnam veterans who went to Vietnam and got strung out on drugs. He was smarter than that. He was stronger. He told me that when he was in Vietnam, he would quote the 23rd Psalm every day. Because you got to have something in your life that moves you from destruction. I got some own destructive tendencies within me. You might well come on, say amen and praise the Lord today. And that's why I need God to help me not to go down the road to ruin. And I've seen a lot of the Vietnam veterans. And the president is getting ready to bring home the Iraqi veterans. They got to make an adjustment. And I hope that they'll have a good life, because they paid a great price for this country. Amen. But you got to have something in your life that can help you move from self-destruction to self-salvation. It begins with self-love. If I don't love myself, I can't love my wife. Hello? If I don't love myself, I can't love you. You can't love me. Is that right? But I love my neighbor as I love myself. That's the message. Are you here today? You need prayer today, whatever you need. Amen. Let's think about it for a moment. Whatever you need, we're going to provide it for you today. Amen. And I want to tell you something. We're just blessed to be alive today. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's a blessing. Amen. And there was a young lady that attended this church, Jaquita Fale. She passed away. Had a funeral yesterday, 51 years old. It's a blessing that God loved me enough to wake me up. And I'm thankful. Oh, oh, come on and let it ride. Oh, oh, come on and let it ride. Oh, come on, oh, yeah, and let it ride. Let the Spirit come on and rise among us. Let the Spirit come on and rise among us. Let the freedom, yeah, rise among us. Let it rise. Oh, let it, oh. Come on, oh, come on and let it ride, oh, let it ride. Let the song come on and rock among us. Let the song come on and rock Some hunger lift the praises up. Yeah, rise. Some hunger let it rise. Oh, let it rise. Oh, come on. Oh, yeah. And let it rise. Yeah, let it rise.